Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
Support for On Point and the following message comes from Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Lift the burden of getting a home loan with Rocket Mortgage and get a secure, transparent home loan approval in minutes. Skip the bank, skip the waiting, and go completely online at quickenloans.com/onpoint.
From WBUR Boston and NPR, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. More than a third of millennials with a day job also have a side job, or as many would say, their side hustle, making some extra money and chasing hopes and dreams on the side. Accountant by day, jewelry designer by night, nurse slash stand-up comic, weekday secretary and weekend tour guide. It's a sign of the times. This hour, On Point, millennials and the side hustle economy. You can join us on air or online, where this conversation is always on. Is this you? A day job and a side hustle. Tell us what. Tell us why. And millennials, what's your side hustle? What's it do for you? Join us anytime at onpointradio.org or on Twitter and Facebook at On Point Radio. Joining me now from New York is Catherine Babmagira, a millennial and side hustler herself. She works full-time as a marketing copywriter. Her side gig is as freelance writer. She wrote a story for Quartz titled, Millennials Are Obsessed with Side Hustles Because They're All We've Got. You can link to it at our website, onpointradio.org. Catherine, welcome to On Point.
Hi, Tom. Thanks for having me.
What's a side hustle?
It is the gig that you work in addition to your full-time job, the thing you do in your spare time. So if you've got a 9-to-5, this is what you're doing in the evenings and on the weekends.
What's the difference between a side hustle and a second job? Second jobs have been around for a long, long time.
Yeah, absolutely. And surely, you know, we've had terms for this before, moonlighting, for example. I don't claim that millennials invented the second job by any means, but I would say that there's sort of a more recent development in that side hustles have taken on this cultural significance with this generation of this is how we're pursuing our dreams. So it means more than a second job. There's a greater depth to the term.
What is the difference, again, between a second job and a side hustle? Or why is it more than extra cash? Though it could well be just that.
Right. I mean, I think there are two broad categories. There are people who side hustle for cash, and then there are people who side hustle for love. So it's sort of hard to define it in one sentence, but I would say it's often about more than cash and about the pursuit of a longer-term dream or, say, a dream job that you're trying to patch together because it may not, you know, exist preformed for you.
Give us some examples from your experience, your circle, of maybe from each of those categories, for cash or for love, for dreams.
Yeah, absolutely. So a lot of my friends who do things like nonprofit work or are teachers, a friend of mine, my college roommate, works for a local government in South Carolina. So what they do on the side is often a cash-oriented side hustle. So my friend in South Carolina, she tutors and she edits PhD students' work just for extra money after her kids are in bed. And then for some others where it's about love, say a friend of mine who wants to be a full-time yoga instructor, but the money just isn't there yet. So right now she's doing it on the side as she hopes to build up a following. Or, for instance, speaking of my own life, I've not really been in a financial position in my career yet to do something like become a full-time staff writer at a publication. The industry is just not very stable, and for a long time I had a great deal of student debt. So I went into advertising at my dad's suggestion, and it's worked out well for me. I've been doing it, and I have interest in that work. I wouldn't say it's my passion or, you know, what I get obsessed with in the middle of the night. But absolutely, it's enjoyable, and I've been lucky to have it. And then on the side, I freelance, right? So for magazines, websites, that sort of thing, which is, you know, it's more about self-expression and articulating these thoughts that I have in the middle of the night, as I say.
So in a way, you're looking to build a ramp maybe to a job change or career change with your side hustle, your freelance writing.
Yeah, absolutely. That's a good way of putting it. Sometimes these things don't exist yet, so you sort of have to create them for yourself. Life is a DIY project.
So, I mean, your headline is, and I don't know, maybe Quartz just dropped the headline on you, but millennials are obsessed with side hustles because they're all we've got. What's that mean?
Well, what I really mean there is that, so this is a generation that came of age or coming out of college in 2008 and 2009, where you had many industries just absolutely collapsing, you know, publishing, media, some of the arts that used to be funded by the government or that used to have some kind of private means. These things were rapidly disappearing overnight. So you had this expectation that you'd come out of school and be able to work in these things. And it simply wasn't true. So for a lot of people, you know, you're forced into essentially an underemployment situation or something that doesn't look like your dream. So rather than give up, you figure out some way to make it work for you and to hang on to that dream while you try to create the situation for yourself.
We've got callers for you and a lot more questions for you as well. But Catherine and Bob Magiera, please stand by there. The article from Quartz that Catherine wrote, Moonlighting, Side Hustling, as Millennials Are Obsessed with Side Hustles Because They're All We've Got. We've got Ty calling from Nashville, Tennessee. Hi, Ty. You're on the air. What's your story?
Hi, Tom. So I am a full-time student. I study studio art. And when I'm not at college, I spend a lot of my time at a warehouse where I work part-time to have money so that I can go to college. And then when I'm not there, I'm an apprentice at a tattoo shop.
How old are you, Ty?
I'm 22.
And of all, you're a student, you work in a warehouse, and you apprentice at a tattoo shop. Where's your passion in all that? What's your side hustle or your dream here?
My dream is that I want to be a full-time tattooer. So I'm taking my skills that I'm learning from college. I'm applying them to the world that is tattooing, even though not all the skills transfer over. Drawing on paper and drawing on people are not at all the same, but the foundations are the same. And I'm subsidizing all that with my money from the warehouse.
I've got it. Does this sound to you like something new, Ty, or like maybe what people have always done to get into the field that they want to get into? I mean, you're out there tattooing on the side, and I would think that that's how people have always toe-dipped.
Oh, yeah. I feel like people have always worked this way. If you think back to when maybe my dad or my mom were in college, you know, they were a full-time student and probably working one or two jobs on the side, even if that money wasn't all going back into college, just so they could have a little bit of fun. You know, if you work an extra couple hours during the week, you know, that's some money so that you and your friends can go out and have a nice meal and, you know, feel like normal people that don't just work all the time.
Yeah. Yeah, Ty, listen, good luck. I hope that you make some beautiful tattoos, and if that's what you want to do, I hope it comes flowing right to you. I really appreciate your call. Catherine, you write, the side hustle offers something worth much more than money. It's a hedge against feeling stuck and dull and cheated by life. Ty's looking to be a tats guy, Catherine, and the side hustle is his way toward it.
Yeah, absolutely. That's proactive. I think that's wonderful.
Let's go to Julia in Jamaica Plain, Massachusetts. Julia, you're on the air. Thanks for calling.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
So I actually worked about 5 different jobs, all with the goal that, you know, hopefully I can be a professional musician one day, whether that means tour life or songwriting for, you know, the big names out there. But
I love it, Julia. How old are you, and what are your 5 jobs? Good heavens.
Yeah, so I'm 24 years old. I've always done something in the food industry. You know, right now I'm a hotline cook at a local restaurant. And then, so that's one job.
Okay, there's one.
I teach music. I tutor music. I also take care of a lady who had a brain aneurysm recently. So I take her around and do stuff for her. And then I also am a part-time baker at a donut cupcake shop.
So. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
And does the music fit in there? Do you have a toe in the stream that you want to really roll with?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, like, I also fly out to do tours and gigs, and honestly, those five jobs really support me going, like, our band just played at South by Southwest.
Hey, that's
and
fantastic.
We got to do awesome stuff, and a song I just wrote came out in a major motion picture, but I still don't even have enough income to like do music full time.
So let me ask you, Julie, you're 24 years old, you got 5 jobs, you've got a dream. Do you feel like a slave to these jobs, or do you feel like you're with all this, you're hanging on to your dream and making progress toward it?
You know, whenever those little things come up, like, oh, you get to play South by Southwest, or your song is actually going to be in a movie, those things are definitely huge steps towards my dream. But I definitely am not at a point where I can be like, hey, how about I just tone it back and only have one or two music-related jobs that I love, you know? I mean, listen, yeah, I think that's the millennial dilemma right now.
Well, I love the grit and the aspiration that's in that story. And I appreciate your call, Julia. Catherine, there you go. You open the phone lines at 22 years old, 24 years old. You write that the psychological benefit of having the side hustle is the real reason for the millennial obsession. That is, Julia's holding on to her dream right there. Ty in Nashville is holding on to his dream.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, when you don't have much else, you've got to hold on to something. So I just think it's wonderful that people pursue this because, I mean, the weight of the world is on you. You're trying to make a living. It's a lot easier to give up than it is to keep going. I think it's super admirable.
Is this more a cultural thing now because, what, the lifetime job or even the one steady job with decent pay and health insurance and all the rest is just more rare? So people are grabbing what they can and trying to hold that flame of a dream out in front of themselves, Catherine?
Yes, I do think that's the case. I think post-recession, a lot of people are very wary of relying on one income or one source of income. You're sort of constantly making plans for various contingencies. And I think most of us view that as smart. It's planning for your future when things may not work out. And you know, if A doesn't work out, then you'll just switch to B or switch then to C. Or in the case of someone with five jobs, go on to three or four or five.
I suppose in the worst case scenario, if you find something you love doing, it never turns into your career, but you've got it as a side hustle. Well, you've got that. You're doing something on the side that you really enjoy.
Yeah, it's fulfilling. I mean, I think that can be that kind of soul work and a way to connect with other people and sort of stay true to your youthful self.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour about millennials doing the side hustle, chasing hopes, dreams, a few extra bucks with jobs on the side. Side hustle, work that many hope becomes something more. Catherine Bob Magiera is with us. She's written it up for Quartz in a piece called Millennials Are Obsessed with Side Hustles because they're all we've got. You can join us. Is this you out there hustling on the side? And if it is, what's your side hustle for? Is it all to pay the rent? Pay off the loans? Is it for beer money? Is it for inspiration? For resume building? For a better future? Is it for fun? People doing all kinds of things on the side. Miranda Wilson works in the University of Oklahoma's College of International Studies by day, but a few nights a week teaches hip-hop dance classes. Here she is at the Early Wine Park YMCA in South Oklahoma City in a video she posted on Facebook Live, her side hustle.
Hi, this is my hip-hop class at the Y, and we are done, and so we wanted to film a song, and we're going to do Ariana Grande Side to Side, and I hope you like it. All right, let's go.
Literally kind of hustling there in the side hustle in Oklahoma. This is from a TED Talk in Chicago, author and motivational speaker Julian Gordon, telling an audience of teenagers about the importance of having side hustles and several streams of income.
Now, a lot of people call us the millennials, or they call us Generation Y. I like to call us the incomes generation. Because the way we are navigating the world, we know that we're going to need multiple sources of income in order to survive this very uncertain world that we're navigating. And whereas our parents took their one source of income, and then they invested it in stocks, and they try to diversify their stock portfolio, we're saying, forget diversifying my portfolio. I need to diversify the number of sources of income that I have.
Okay, there it is. Maybe it's the incomes generation or the side hustle generation, maybe for dreams, maybe for cash. Catherine Babangiro, standby in New York. Joining me now from Livermore, California, is Nick Loper. He's founder of SideHustleNation.com, the blog, podcast about the side gig economy. Started out as a side hustle for him. Joins us via Skype. Nick Loper, thanks very much for being with us.
Tom, thanks for having me.
And with me in the studio is Diane Mulcahy. She's a lecturer at Babson College, teaches a class on entrepreneurship and the gig economy, and author of the new book, The Gig Economy, The Complete Guide to Getting Better Work, Taking More Time Off, and Financing the Life You Want. Diane, thanks very much for being here.
Hi, Tom. Thanks for having me.
So is this the gig economy? Is this the side hustle economy? Are they the same thing, Diane?
I mean, the way that I think about the gig economy is if you're not a full-time employee in a full-time job, you're part of the gig economy. So if you're a consultant, a contractor, an advisor, a freelancer, or an on-demand worker, you're in the gig economy. And having a side gig is absolutely part of the gig economy. If you're in a full-time job, increasingly, people are taking on side gigs for a variety of reasons. And in the gig economy, you see people putting together a whole portfolio of gigs, and that's how they work.
So, Nick, I mean, here's a little bit from your podcast. I love this, The Side Hustle Show. You interview entrepreneurs about their side jobs, offering advice for developing and promoting side hustles. Let us get just a taste of it, Nick.
Welcome to The Side Hustle Show, where aspiring part-time entrepreneurs learn how to turn their side hustle dreams into reality. Because your 9-to-5 may make you a living, but your 5-to-9 makes you alive.
That's hilarious. Your 5-to-9 makes you alive. Who's side hustling, Nick?
Just about everybody these days. It really runs. I mean, we're talking about millennials, but it's, I've got people joining the community who are, still in high school all the way up to, people kind of approaching retirement and looking for that next gig that's going to hold them over, or that next business opportunity.
And you're focused mainly on would-be entrepreneurs who, are holding down a job at trying to start something of their own?
Yeah, I was really expecting the audience to be, people like me, early stage career people and just looking for something else. But I found it's kind of a little bit broader than that.
And who does it? Is it what everybody who's jumping in this pool? What's the difference between I've got a job. I don't know. I work at Panera, and I'm a crossing guard. Does that make me a side hustler?
In a way, but I kind of like what Catherine was saying is like looking at the things that have a higher upside, right? It's like you're building you're trying to build a business versus just delivering pizzas at on the weekend. It's the way I try and look at it is, even if something isn't ringing the cash register immediately, like you have the luxury because of your 9-to-5, because of that steady paycheck, where you can take some time to invest in this business, essentially, that's, maybe going to take a little bit of time to ramp up.
Diane, we've got people responding in all kinds of ways here. Mark says, I'm 53. I have a side gig, too. Lots of Jeff says, boomer here. I've had a side hustle for 30 plus years. Call it a second job. But yet people realize there may be something changing here. Stuart says, is very skeptical. Stuart writes, side hustle is a cooler way of saying labor stooge or slave to the 1%. Maybe once we all have two or three jobs, people will start to wonder why they are even alive. Pretty desperate view there. But is there something that's changed in the economy, Diane, that makes this necessary? Are people enslaved to two or three jobs, or is this an opportunity scenario?
I really think it's an opportunity, but I do think something has changed in the economy that has made side gigs much more prevalent than they have been historically, and that is there is no job security anymore. Unless you're a full-time tenured professor, at any time your job can be automated or eliminated, outsourced, offshored, contracted out, mm-hmm. freelanced out. So I think people are starting to become aware of that and wrap their heads around that, and as a response are de-risking their work life by taking on a side gig and making sure that they have other irons in the fire, that they have other sources of income, that they have other opportunities that they're pursuing in the event that their main gig suddenly goes away.
Are they working more than their parents did? Because some scenarios, it's a bunch of gigs. So I don't know what that adds up to in total. In others, it's a full-time job plus a side hustle. Now, it's not as though members of the parents' generation didn't also have second jobs, but it was never the norm. 30%, if that is right, that 30% of millennials have it, that seems like a high portion to me.
Yeah, although I think side gigs are much more broadly defined, and I think some of the examples that we discussed mm-hmm. earlier in the show illustrate that. So, for example, one of my side gigs is I'm an adjunct lecturer. So one semester out of the academic year, I teach a course one time a week. That, I think, is very different than how you traditionally consider a second
mm-hmm.
job,
mm-hmm.
which includes much more time on a weekly basis. And there are all kinds of side gigs that are volunteer-based. Maybe you sit on a board and meet once a quarter. Maybe you write one article a month. So I don't know that all of the side gigs are for money, first of all, or second of all, take enough time to qualify as a second job the way that most people would think about that.
Catherine Bob Magiro, what makes it qualify in your view? I mean, if we're talking about you know, sitting on a board or being an adjunct lecturer or writing an article once a month, that sounds kind of highfalutin. Is it if you're driving Uber after work, is that a side hustle, Catherine?
I do think so. In fact, in my case, I believe that the sheer range of side hustles is part of what makes the whole idea and the cultural phenomenon so interesting. So I say we admit all of them and then look at the broader picture and see what we've got.
And I would agree with that as well. I mean, in the course that I teach, I had one of my MBA students do a side gig while he was a student. He drove Uber in order to cover his car payment. And that took probably a week to 10 days he would drive per month. And it allowed him to, you know, basically outsource the cost of his vehicle to that side gig and cover it that way. So it was a great opportunity for him to be able to do that.
We've got all kinds of responses here. Jacob says, I have a full-time job in a marketing department and a side hustle doing design, teaching art, and making apparel. Okay, there's a kind of a job and maybe a dream or something for pleasure. KB says, side hustle, full-time architectural designer, evening college instructor, owner of a startup vintage furniture rental biz. That's putting a lot together. Patrick says, I'm a millennial and I work 75 hours a week plus between two jobs. Imagine how I feel hearing how lazy my generation is. Nick Loper, you must have an allergy to that. I mean, that has sometimes been thrown at millennials, but if everybody's side hustling, that hardly sounds like a lazy generation, Nick.
Yeah, I take offense to that label.
Yeah.
I don't think that's what it's about. I think it's about, you know, doing something proactive, like seizing that tiny bit of control that you maybe don't have in your day job, you don't feel in other areas of your life. But like, yeah, like what Diane was saying, if you can erase some of your expenses, and maybe that's a good way to frame it, is like, okay, I'm going to try and start small. I'm going to try and erase my car payment. I'm trying to erase my cell phone payment with these different side gigs and then try and scale it up from there.
Ari writes to us on Twitter, the side hustle is veiled language covering the reality of chronic underemployment. Let's not glorify it. Let's call it what it is. Diane?
I don't know about chronic underemployment, but I would say chronic uncertainty. And I think in the absence of any job security, it's really important to risk-proof your life by having more than one professional opportunity going on. Diversification is a well-accepted concept in the financial world, and I think now it's moving into the professional world. And people are understanding that relying on one company, one job for professional security, financial stability doesn't make sense anymore. You have to diversify. You have to reduce the risk of that by having a side gig.
Let's go to Terrence in Madison, Wisconsin. Terrence, thank you for calling. You're on the air.
Hi, yeah. My wife is basically her whole life is a series of side gigs. She got her degree in physics and was a particle physicist for a bit. But then she started taking up yoga instruction. And now she works at about three different yoga studios and eventually got into aerial arts. And so does aerial performance and teaches aerial arts.
What are aerial arts, Terrence? What does that mean, aerial arts?
It's sometimes referred to as circus arts, and it's aerial silks and
like trapeze stuff, or okay, yeah,
yeah. Good,
cool,
yeah.
All right.
And so she does that, and then she also sews the costumes for her own performances and for several other performers. And so we kind of built a career out of a series of side jobs.
Is she happy about that, Terrence? I mean, she's a trained particle physicist who's working as a yoga instructor, a trapeze artist, and a seamstress. Is this cool or not?
I think it was a very conscious decision because of work-life balance to step away from the particle physics side of things. So she's doing what she loves now. She's performing. She's, you know, getting paid to do, you know, things that she's enjoyed all her life. So.
Wow, that's quite a bouquet of things she's up to, and we hope she does them all safely up there with her aerial artistry. Terrence, I appreciate your call. Catherine, Bob Magiro, what about it? Do you see the side hustling? I mean, Terrence's wife trained as a particle physicist. Now, maybe she's gone into yoga. There's a lot of physics in yoga, also in trapeze art, I guess. Or is it because, I don't know, boomers are sitting in a lot of these jobs, sort of filling up the runway, and millennials are, you know, finding other avocations while they're waiting to get into their central field?
You know, that could be the case. You know, I'm not being facetious when I say that yoga may be just as worthwhile as particle physics. I mean, both of those things can give you pleasure and fulfillment. It's not necessarily the case that one is more virtuous than the other. The other thing I'd say is I don't think it's true that we romanticize chronic underemployment if we grant that that exists. When we say that pursuit itself is enlivening, interesting people, I mean, everyone we've spoken to has sounded like such an interesting person who I'd like to get a beer with. I think it makes you a more rounded person, a person who may even be more empathetic. And certainly I sort of think of you probably have a lot of intellectual firepower there if you're a yoga instructor, particle physicist.
Yeah, you can do some, no doubt, some amazing poses. I mean, Nick Mark writes to us, he says, in general, this is a question I'll put to you, Nick. Are side hustles more aligned with a person's interests and likes than their day job? Are there any specific trends in side hustles, like the type of hustle people of a certain age tend to have, or side hustles that correlate with specific day jobs? What have you seen, Nick?
I've seen it really all over the map. So I'll give some examples of some of the, you know, hottest side hustles going. One of those is in the e-commerce realm, and specifically tapping into Amazon's fulfillment network. Amazon has built out a really world-class logistics network, and they've started to crowdsource their inventory. So at any given day, you know, something like 45% or 47% of the inventory that's on Amazon is actually not owned by Amazon. It's actually owned by small business owners like you and me, who are, you know, shipping it into their warehouse and having Amazon sell it on their behalf. And Amazon takes a fee for that, of course. So that's one of the more popular ones that's going on right now. You can actually get started in that by, you know, downloading the Amazon Seller app and creating an Amazon Seller account, which is, both of these are free. And then next time you're out at the grocery store, next time you're out shopping at Walmart, just stop by the clearance section and you can scan the barcode on a few items and see what that might be worth online. And if it's worth significantly more in some cases, you might as well buy that, ship it in. And so that's one of the ways.
Living the arbitrage life.
That's exactly it. So that's kind of a fun way that I've, you know, made money, or one of the income streams that I've been working on the last year or so.
Diane, we're getting tons of email from people saying this is not just a millennial thing. Is there something what's the fundamental difference, if there is one, between second jobs and passions people have always had and the gig economy or the side hustle?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think this is a millennial phenomenon at all. I think that when you look at mid-career, people who are approaching retirement, as well as millennials, everybody's starting to get into the side gig business. And in part, it's to diversify and reduce risk in their professional life. In part, it's to pursue things that they're interested in or earn additional income. And as the prior caller's wife indicated, you know, putting together a portfolio of gigs can give you a lot more flexibility, control, and autonomy, which is something that people are really seeking. So if you have a portfolio of gigs, you have much more control over the time you spend working, the type of work you take on, and you have more time to pursue some of your personal goals. It's not all work all the time. I also work a lot with entrepreneurs, and side gigs can be an incredible low-cost and low-risk way to get out and experiment with your idea for a new business. So if you're starting something on the side, you have the ability to test how much demand is there in the market, what about pricing, you know, how do things change if you price your service or your product differently. And side gigs can provide a really interesting on-ramp to the entrepreneurial life.
Support for On Point and the following message comes from Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. When it comes to the big decision of choosing a mortgage lender, it's important to work with someone you can trust who has your best interests in mind. With Rocket Mortgage, you get a transparent online process that gives you the confidence you need to make an informed decision. Skip the bank, skip the waiting, and go completely online at quickenloans.com/onpoint. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states. NMLSConsumerAccess.org, number 3030.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour about millennials and more, it turns out, much more, doing the side hustle, chasing hopes, dreams, a few extra bucks with jobs on the side. Side hustle. Work that many hope becomes something more. Catherine Bob McGuire has been writing about it for Quartz. Her piece is Millennials Are Obsessed with Side Hustles Because They're All We've Got. You can link to that at our website, onpointradio.org. She joins us from New York. Nick Loper is with us from Livermore, California, founder of SideHustleNation.com. That tells you where we are. And Diane Mulcahy is with us, author of The Gig Economy, everything you may want to know about how all this works. You may know it very well. You may be right in the middle of it. What's your story, and what do you make of this whole dynamic? We've got so many comments coming here, and I want to put it to my panel. What Jacob says, my side jobs keep me sane and give me hope for getting to a place in life where I can live off doing what I love all the time. There's the aspirational view of this. Mary Kate says, the gig economy goes beyond millennials. These days, so many working moms are taking up extra jobs, selling protein shakes, cleaning products, fitness regimes. My Facebook feed is full of this stuff. I think people just want a way to make a living and have flexibility so they're not slaves to their jobs, their commute. With social media, you see so many success stories. It makes it all seem very attainable. Do those sound like reasonable dreams and hopes of attainment to you, Diane?
They do. I think that side gigs can fulfill a number of functions. As we've talked about earlier in the show, generating income is certainly one thing that they can accomplish for people who decide to take something on in addition to their main day job. But they can also expand your network into, you know, if you're interested in getting into a different industry or sector or field, moving into a side gig can help you meet people in that area and expand your network. It can deepen your skills. You know, if you're a VP of marketing and you want to go work for a nonprofit and sit on the finance committee, that can help you expand your skills into areas that might not be available for you to do in your full-time day job. So there's a lot of opportunities for side gigs, and there definitely is an aspirational element to them in some cases.
Chris in Frederick, Maryland. Chris, thank you for calling. You're on the air.
Hi, Tom.
Hi. What's your story?
So my wife and I, we're 31 and 30, so I don't know if we count as millennials anymore, but we have no debt, but we have sold a lot of used clothing on eBay and made about $10,000 over the past few years.
Where do you come up with it? In your own closet, or are you rummaging through your friends' attics?
No, mostly we go out to garage sales and thrift stores on the weekends.
And then you just find cool stuff and turn it around. Is it... 10 grand is not small change. What's the time payoff ratio for you? Does it pay, Chris?
Oh, absolutely. I'll buy shirts for $2 and sell them for about $30. So when you figure in shipping costs and eBay fees, that's about $20 profit per shirt.
It sounds like you're onto something, Chris, and it sounds like you enjoy it. So there's your side hustle. Let me get one more. Adam in Tampa, Florida. Adam, you're on the air.
How are you doing today?
Okay, what's your story, Adam?
I do pretty much a little bit of everything I do. Started mainly, I do it for like experience. I figure if I'm going to be sitting at home, might as well do something I like doing and make some money doing it. So I just go online, see what people need done. And if I don't know exactly, just quick YouTube it. I can learn pretty much anything on YouTube. Then go make anywhere $20, $100 in a couple hours. So it definitely beats part-time work for minimum wage, $10 an hour, whatever it may be.
And are you working with TaskRabbit or one of these gig apps online, or how do you find work, Adam?
Usually just Craigslist in the gig section. They have an area just for gigs and also like Facebook groups. I do a lot of gardening and pet training. That's what I'm trying to focus now. So I'll go on to like the gardening pages or the pet pages and say, hey, I do pet training. If your dogs don't get along, I can help you train them for free, offer advice, so that way the dogs don't have to return back to the shelter and things like that.
And what kind of nut are you supporting with this work, Adam? Are you self-supporting? Are you out of school, in school? Is this your full, you know, income or supplemental income?
Currently, I have a lot of fiberglass and carpentry experience, so I just recently got a full-time job now, so I can do an AC repair. So that's kind of similar to my experience that I've been working towards. But my main goal, that's just to save up some money and then provide income so I can eventually start my main goal, which is like a pet training facility and garden nursery. So basically on my free time, that's what I do. I'll be at the dog parks and network, use my dog as my main marketing tool, and people compliment him and say how well-behaved he is and how good he listens. And I said, I do dog training. I can help you as well. And I'm trying to do, like, low-cost dog training because a lot of places, a couple hundred dollars, so I'll try to post ads on YouTube for tips and things like that so I can just give people the link. They can watch the videos instead of driving around town asking for tons of money. So eventually, I'm hoping in the long run, it'll pay off. But as of right now, just getting the exposure, networking, marketing, things like that.
Adam, I love it. You are a hustler with a dog as a chief marketing officer, and that's probably pretty effective. I mean, Diane, here, a listener writes, side hustles can also cause a lot of issues for workers. Here's what one listener says. People doing side hustles can depress wages in those fields because they're less vested in making a living from it. Why pay a professional photographer or DJ when you can get someone, well, this listener says, half as good for one-fourth the price? I don't know about that, but what about the effect on wages overall?
Well, I think in any industry, like the example you just stated, there's always going to be a range of quality and prices in most industries. So whether you're hiring a personal trainer or a marketing person or a DJ, people make decisions all the time about how much they're willing to pay and for what quality. So I don't think that's anything new at all.
We've got Erica says, writes to us, living in an area with one of the worst wage gaps in the country for black women, my side hustle is to supplement those wages. So it's kind of necessary here. Emily writes, I have a pretty good full-time job in the pharmaceutical industry and still work two babysitting jobs. I don't know, but to me, this sounds like a new thing. And she writes, like most, my dream is to buy a house. So this money goes directly into my savings. With my school loan payments, it's hard to save anything and have a social life. This gives me the opportunity to buy a house sometime in the near future. I mean, Catherine, is that part of it? The combination of sometimes wages are not so great for millennials. Sometimes there's a lot of student debt that sort of, you know, reaching for that dream of the house and that base of life. Is that what's pushing a lot of the side hustle, Catherine?
I think absolutely so. I can speak from my own experience to this point. In 2008, both my husband and I, we got our first real jobs and we were immediately laid off. My company just had a massive layoff and his actively went under, y'all may remember, Circuit City.
Oh, yeah.
In any case, though, that's when I started side hustling myself. I eventually got another job and then I freelanced on the side to make extra money because I really wasn't making very much in the day job. And my husband had no job at all. He just couldn't find one. He was working in corporate retail at that time and it was not the time to be trying to get back into it. So for us, it was very much about being able to eat at a restaurant once in a while.
And who doesn't want to do that? I mean, that's the money on the side. But Nick Loper in California, Andrew in Hollywood writes to us, says, stop calling it the gig economy. Terms like these normalize the economic environment that requires entire generations to feel they need two jobs to survive. Andrew doesn't like it, Nick.
Yeah, I can understand where Andrew's coming from, but I will try and look at it from a pragmatic standpoint, right? We've seen the costs of education, the cost of housing, the cost of healthcare go through the roof. And meanwhile, we've seen wages pretty much stagnant for the last 30 years. And so the question is, what are you going to do about it? Are you going to, sit there and take it, or are you going to be proactive and, start to take matters into your own hands? And I think that's really what we mean by the side hustle economy, by the gig economy. And, we can debate till the cows come home whether that's a good thing or a bad thing, but it's just like this is the reality that we're in. And so we might as well, at least in my opinion, we might as well do something about it at an individual level.
Dominic writes to us, he says, 23 years old, and while more of a hobby than profitable gig, my side hustle is home brewing. Hoping it eventually pans out to working in or owner of a micro distillery, I've already managed to make up my own apple brandy and absinthe, of all things. Tim in Portland, Maine. Tim, thank you for calling. You're on the air.
Hi, Tom.
Hi, what's your story?
I graduated 4 years ago from University of Southern Maine with a degree in linguistics.
Cool.
And now I'm teaching English as a second language to new arrivals in America full-time. And then on the weekend, I work 20 to 30 hours at Starbucks for health insurance, actually, which I feel like is a big, it's a pretty common story for Starbucks employees because Starbucks gives us health insurance.
How many hours do you have to work to get health insurance from Starbucks, Tim?
So 20. And then, they kind of end up calling me a lot for, oh, do you want to work an extra shift? So, the last couple months, I've been doing 70-hour work weeks. It sucks.
Wow. But you've got that health insurance at your back, and off of that, you feel free to do more things. That is interesting. Tim, I appreciate your call from Maine. It's interesting. A lot of people write about health insurance. I mean, Dallas writes to us, sort of intergenerational thing here. He says he's 26 years old. His mom is in her early 50s. He says, she's had more than one job my entire life. She's always worked full-time and then taken on contracts to clean office buildings at night. She's quite good at baking and decorating cakes and has been talking about starting a cafe or bakery since I was born, but she can't imagine losing the health insurance, so she's always worked a full-time job to maintain it. He says, that's informed my opinion that universal health care is actually a pro-small business or pro-entrepreneurial policy idea that would help stimulate my generation to rise above the work-for-insurance model that kept my mother from going beyond the multiple job grind. But we don't see that universal health care out there. But surely, Diane, that would liberate people to really go down this path.
It absolutely would. I mean, I think if you look at our labor market and you were designing it today, you would never design the system that we have, which basically penalizes everybody who does not have a full-time job, in the sense that if you're a full-time employee, you get all kinds of rights and protections and benefits that are simply inaccessible to you if you choose to work in any other way besides in a full-time job. Mm-hmm. So I do think that that's a real policy issue. The Affordable Care Act was certainly intended to go some of the way to helping people find a way to get health insurance without having to have a full-time job. And I think the success of that really varies by market and by state and how, you know, how many plans are available, how costly they are, what subsidies are available, et cetera. So really varying experiences with the Affordable Care Act.
I mean, so many angles on this coming in here. So many people are engaged with this, as all of you, Nick and Catherine and Diane know well. But here's Mom to Three writes to us. She says, for many, it's not a side hustle. It's their whole life. Gig economy, piecing together work. My son, she writes, is a freelance gaffer, you know, doing electrical and lighting for, video or TV movies. Jobs last a few days or a few weeks, no benefits. He's making it, as in earning enough to pay his cost of living, and he's on Covered California, the insurance there. Plus, he's really good at scheduling. But at this rate, she writes, he will never be able to save for his own home or even a new car. The whole system is geared toward regular paychecks. That's in all caps, with fewer and fewer people receiving those these days as employers figure out more creative ways to resist actually hiring someone into a job instead of a gig. What do you say, Diane?
I absolutely agree. I mean, full-time employees have become the employee of last resort, and companies will do just about anything to hire a different kind of worker. They want part-time workers, contractors, consultants. So this is absolutely a trend, and I think both on the policy side has not caught up to that trend, nor has the financial services system. It's still very difficult to get a mortgage, to get a loan, if you do not have a regular paycheck. So our entire system has been designed around that, and it just isn't the way things are anymore.
Catherine, full-time employees as the employee of last resort. So is this good? Is this cool? Or is this just driving people toward a never-ending kind of a desperate round of little jobs and the hope of what you call the lottery ticket, the one that really pays off?
Right. You know, none of what I've said should be construed as support for a system that has people working all hours or a healthcare system that leaves so many people in the cold. I'd love to see those things change. To the earlier caller who said, I feel like, you know, so many people feel like they need a second job, I don't think it's a matter of feeling. I think it's a response to reality, especially economic realities. So no one would say that this is a best case scenario. It's just, it's what we've got. So we've got to deal with that.
And in that world, though, it keeps that hope alive that you might find it. You write, in the best case scenario, your side hustle can be like a lottery ticket, offering the possibility, however remote, that you just might hit the jackpot and discover that holy grail of gigs, the one that perfectly blends money and love, the one that's coming along any day now. You know what the odds are on the lottery, Nick? How do the odds look in the side hustle world?
Hey, it's you can do some things to be proactive and set yourself up for success. For example, you can start small, and really that's what the side hustle is all about. It's like this lower risk brand of entrepreneurship versus jumping off the cliff. And I've heard the traditional definition of an entrepreneur is someone who jumps off the cliff and then builds themselves a parachute on the way down. But I'm too risk averse for that. Like that doesn't sit well with me as an entrepreneur, and I don't think it sits well for most people. And so that's why we're starting small, starting something on the side. I'll give the example of my wife. She's a wedding photographer as her side hustle. She's a mechanical engineer by day. And she started exactly that. This was a hobby. This was an interest. This was a passion, and started taking pictures of, you know, friends and families, you know, doing family shoots. And then they started to branch out into weddings. And now, like, that's it's still a side hustle for her, but a pretty significant source of income.
Wow. I'm looking at the Twitter feed and Facebook here, and people with just so many different kinds of jobs and hustles. It is a really crowded world out there of hopes and dreams and gigs on the side. Andra writes to us, and maybe this is your lottery ticket scenario, Catherine. She says, my weekend side hustle in the 90s morphed into my full-time gig now. Andra writes, do what you love. The money follows. Age-old advice applies. Are you putting your money down on that, Catherine?
I am. I think people should go for it. I'm just going to be unapologetic in that. I'm strongly pro pursue your dreams, go for it, no matter how corny it may sound.
Well, it's not a simple picture, but it's reality, and reality for millions of Americans. Catherine Bob Magira, freelance writer. You tell the story very well in Quartz Magazine. Thank you very much for joining us this hour, Catherine.
Thank you, Tom.
And Nick Loper, founder of SideHustleNation.com. Maybe that's what we are. Nick, thank you very much for being with us today from Livermore, California.
You bet. Thanks for having me.
Diane Mulcahy, author of The Gig Economy. Last advice to people out there thinking about taking this big plunge?
Start with a side gig.
Start with a side gig. Get your toes in there. Diane, a lecturer at Babson College, author of The Gig Economy, thanks very much for being with us today.
Thanks for having me.
Listeners, you can continue this conversation and get the On Point podcast at our website, onpointradio.org. Follow us on Twitter and Facebook at On Point Radio. I'm on Twitter at Tom Ashbrook, NPR. Thanks for joining us today. This is On Point.